there are different things that help to create that animosity and stuff. And from what I have observed in public utterances in Barbados, this guy is gross. He really has gone over the top in the way that he has spoken and was captured on the camera. But there are other people in Barbados who go over the top as well.
They
And,
are.
you know, and we are the majority black people here, and we sometimes come across as though we don't have to care about anybody else and what they feel and what they say. So it is a time to recognize that we need to temper behavior on all sides, you know. There are black Barbadians who will say there's no need for us to temper because we are reacting to our experience or the experiences of those who've gone before us, and we have nothing to apologize for. But I think that you still have to take into consideration that there's got to be a respect for minorities, and minorities also have to respect the majority of the people in a country.
True.
We've got some attitudes and behaviors that are not going to be easily gotten over. But people who, especially those who speak in public and who tend to want to play to one gallery or the other, got to be really sensitive to what their words can actually do. That's one of the reasons why the Right Excellent Errol Walton Barrow once went to Parliament and enacted the Public Order Act in Barbados, because it was recognized then, and it remains relevant now, that the utterances of people can incite behavior. The comments that have been made by Donald Trump time after time after time in the United States, comments that are admired by some people, even in this country, have helped to incite a lot of bad behavior in the United States. They incited, as far as I'm concerned, they incited the Capitol riots.
Correct,
And,
correct.
you know, they incited Proud Boys. Words matter. What we say in public matters. And whipping up racial hatred along the lines that we saw from this Corbyn man, and what I hear sometimes in a veiled manner from some other people who speak in public in Barbados, it needs to be watched very carefully because you can never tell where that is going to take us. And
Very,
you know, there are other people in this country who are listening to you, and while you, like Donald Trump, you will say that you'd never told him to go there and storm the Capitol. You have effectively done so by the way that you speak in public. So be
true.
very, very careful with it, huh?
Yes, correct, Mr. Ellis. Correct. Correct.
All right. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes,
Good morning.
morning.
How are you today?
I'm okay.
Okay, I have 2 points I want to look at this morning. First, one is with Mr. Corbyn. In the Bible, there was a situation arose where a lady was caught in adultery, and they brought that lady to Jesus. And just to make a long story short, Jesus came to give them a made a recommendation. He said, "Those that are without sin, cast the first stone at the lady," because by Jewish law, she was, you know, guilty of that crime. So what I'm saying is that many of us, whether we are Indian, African, or whichever race, at some point in time, we will get angry at, well, we're in a position where we become angry at someone of a different culture or race. And then we make statements. I remember when we were small, we used to say to white people, "Oh, that's a Hecky Becky," or, you know, remember that. But what I'm saying is that that same principle applied today, because many of us would have made racist statement, not intentionally, but out of out of anger. Okay? So if we could, if any of us is not guilty of making racist statements or something towards a person of a at a risk, then we should be in a position to cast that first stone. But it could happen to any person. It could have been a black or Indian making a statement about person of other race. Okay? So we need to give that guy a break, not just stone him, because it could happen to anybody.
And no. This man must be told in no uncertain terms. And the people who think like him, that outburst reflects an attitude and a behavior which may well be playing out in different ways in this society, and that we are concerned about it. And we need to have more people in leadership in this country, especially from the white minority, speaking out against that conduct that we saw. That was reprehensible. And he was only caught because the fellow was sitting down beside him, whoever that person was, decided that they're going to take this piece. And they must have been in shock and awe at what they saw and what they heard. So they must have put it up somewhere, and then it went viral. But this man should apologize to the country. And if he can't find the time to apologize to the country, then it tells us a lot more about his behavior. But that's what he needs to do. We have to be careful, because I listen to all that's being said online and stuff. Some people talk their talk, but the critical thing is, it's not what you say, it's what you do. So we have to be careful in how we react to that, but in measured and firm terms to say to him, that's unacceptable conduct.
Right, I understand that, because he has been caught. But there are many of us who find ourselves in similar situations from both, you know, spectrums of the equation that haven't been caught. Okay, my second point is, as a listener to this program, I'm very saddened by the blindness that the station manager and the program manager pay to the poor communication of one of their moderators. You know, broadcasting is a thing where communication is a very strong skill. That's the reason why they have auditions to find if that person, if a person's communication skill is strong enough to come on air. Because it's very irritating to listen to a poor communicator, you know, on reddish television or radio.
So you need to look at that. What makes a poor communicator?
Okay.
Communicator? As far as I know, communication is a two-way street. And you are poor in communication if other people do not understand what you're saying. Is that what you want to say? Or are you talking about something else?
I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the comprehension. I'm talking about the diction of the presenter.
Okay. Well, let me not shift any responsibility to anybody else, because I, for the time being and until the end of the month, I'm station manager. But let me say to you that one has to weigh a number of things, and I've been concerned, yes, about some aspects of our performance on air. Not any one person, but from time to time, you know, you come up against something in one section or the other that, you know, you say, but we need to do better than this. But you know what? What overrides all of that is the fact that that person or those people may be bringing something more to the table that compensates to some extent for that weakness. This is a weakness which I would say to you, we have had to deal with this not only in this business, but I hear people with PhDs in Barbados who have gone through this university system. I hear politicians, I hear lawyers. I mean, across the board, there is a weakness in this country, and I believe we can trace it right back to something that went wrong at the primary level of our education in Barbados. And it has not been corrected at secondary level either. So many of us are in a position where we would want to see better. People can be exposed to training. You can recommend training for people and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, you look at it from the point of view of What else does that person bring to the table? And to me, the issue, the fundamental issue here is that I would hate to think that this is something that is across the board. You will have one or two situations that you can point to, but in the main, the general thrust of what we are doing here does not fall into that category. Those who are touched by your concern and your comment need to listen and understand that better is expected of them. And I hope that they move forward in a positive way in that regard. Okay, so thank you very much. You gotta go. Thank you. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good morning.
Hi, morning. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm okay.
Good. Good morning to you and Dennis and all the VOB listeners. This is the first time I'm calling, but I listen to the program almost every day. What caught my attention yesterday evening is when the Attorney General Dale Marshall. Spoke about the bread vans and the crowd that is gathering around the bread van on the road. And then the Prime Minister, she touched on it again after she came on, right? So I just want to, I have a bakery and I have a bread van on the road. And from last year when the time was restricted and the COVID, everything last year, March, I had hand sanitizer and water on the van, bleach in the water on the van. And with this going down now from the beginning of the year, we place flyers on the van asking persons to keep the distance and to wear masks. And we talked to our driver, asking him not to let the crowd gather, even if he have to like make additional stops through gap, and not for persons to gather and not for persons to handle the bread as well. He do the handling of the bread. So I just want to put it out there for my other colleagues, like, because they have some companies that have vans on the road, then they have some persons that buy from other bakeries and sell again, and then they have some that use their own vehicles and sell the bread for company on consignment or commission, something like that. So I just want these customers and bread vans out there to be more mindful, because I won't want the vans to get taken off the road, especially mine, because I depend on that, right? And I have to pay for it when the month comes to Simpson Motors. Then the guy that works for us or with us, he has a family, and then through the same business, we help take care. Even before the COVID thing, we help take care of some elderly persons through the same bread van. So I just pleading with the other drivers and customers to be more mindful. And even if the van go through areas where something makes like two or three stops and like persons from three, four houses come to meet this van, to don't do that. Make multiple stops, more stops through the said gap in order not for persons to gather, because I won't want one or two reckless, careless persons cause other persons that are following protocol or vigilant or mindful to have to pay for their ignorance. So that is my contribution for today. Well, thank you for your time.
Well, you give us some insight into how that aspect of the industry is operating and the kinds of the mix of kind of business operations that you have inside there. But, you know, ultimately, you have to be careful as it relates to the health of both the customers and the people who are driving these vehicles.
Yes.
Because even the most important issue here is that if you are not careful as a driver or the person who is working with the driver, with community spread out there, then you are seriously exposed to to COVID.
Yeah.
This is ultimately what the government is concerned about. And I don't know how many of these vehicles we have selling bread across the country, but you need to recognize that the same issue that you face, there are many other businesses in Barbados facing exactly that right now.
Yes, they agree.
They create jobs, they help other people, but they have to stop because the country is being put in a lockdown so that we will be able to arrest the spread of this virus. So we wait to hear exactly what the Attorney General is saying. He suggested last night when listening to him that while there was some element of concern that there is not an abuse, he still came across as though he wasn't clear in his mind that he would stop these vehicles altogether. So
no.
I believe he's considering what is happening based upon the feedback that he's getting from the community. And therefore, you all need to do your best is to make sure that those of you who are operating do so in such a manner that the authorities would say, well, that's safe enough.
Right, right. So that's why I came on to plead with other persons to adhere while keeping the van driver safe, keeping their self safe, and then probably going back into their homes with their families. So even if the van have to make, rather than going and stopping in one particular area in the neighborhood where persons accustomed coming out from 3-4 houses to gather on the van, ask persons, if you see too much people coming, just stop them and tell them, well, I come into you. Make more stops in the area to avoid persons gathering around the van.
All right, ma'am. Thank you very much. Dr. Brastax, good afternoon. Good morning, rather. I'm a little ahead of myself this morning. It's 11:24. Hello.
Hi. Hello. Good afternoon, David.
Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. I'm a first-time caller to the program, first thing.
Yeah, David, it's a pleasure to have you.
I'm going back to March last year, when we our first lockdown. We were offered a moratorium on mortgages by the bank, which was supposed to be interest-free. It has turned out not to be interest-free. A lot of complaints went off to the Fair Trading Commission, and we have not heard anything on the results of that investigation. I checked with the Fair Trading Commission back in September, October, and they had not completed the investigation. I don't know why it's taken so long.
It's taken long.
Yeah. My last statement from my bank shows that they offered me an additional 3 months. When I questioned the bank on this issue, it was taking me up to, depending on the size, they can tell me off the top of their head because they weren't looking at my information, between a year and 18 months to repay the interest on 6 months moratorium. 3 months, I did not take the additional 3 months. I said, that's ridiculous. And y'all was supposed to give this interest-free for the first 3 months. Well, the lady who I was communicating with at my bank could not answer these questions because it was at higher level. When I received my statement, which took me to October, I am still paying interest on those 3 months moratorium that they gave us. Compulsory. We didn't have a say in it. They gave us compulsory. And I am not paying my principal up to that time. Nothing. I was paying my principal before. My February payment that was withdrawn from my account was returned to me, which was a normal payment to my mortgage. Come on. This is ridiculous. This is taking advantage of the consumers. We need resolution on this, because you cannot extend our mortgage by doing this without our consent. And that's my position on that. We need to hear something from the Fair Trading Commission or our banks on this. Everybody has gone mute on it. And, you know, a lot of people don't recognize how they're suffering from this, because it's actually extended the life of your mortgage. And up to October, I'm still paying on 3 months that they gave me interest without paying any part of my principal.
You're operating in bad faith.
Yeah, we need to hear something on this.
It is an important point that must be touching so many lives.
Yes, and I don't think a lot of people recognize what has happened to them. Okay.
So the 2 points they're making is that they have been charging you interest on the 3 months moratorium that they say they were giving you.
Yes.
And then they have effectively extended your mortgage.
Yes.
Okay. So that's a big issue.
Yeah. All right. We need to hear something on this, David.
Thank you.
All right.
Down to brass tacks.
Yes.
Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon. I mean, good morning. Sorry, good morning. And good morning to your listeners. I have two. But first, I hope the brave vendor, you know, they have any chance. I hope they're sanitizing it after each transaction, and the people that are going up for brave vendor getting some wash their hands when they're handing in that money too.
Now, there you expose another risk, you see, of having the bread vendor out there selling the bread on his own, because that person is also handling the change.
Right. And he should be sanitizing after each transaction. Not just take the bread and get passing on that, like passing the virus to somebody else.
But that also means that the person who is buying the bread, once they get the money in their hand, they also have to follow the rule of washing their hands frequently.
Yeah, or carry a bottle of the sanitizer outside after they receive the money and sanitize their hands. Mr. Ellis, I heard about this, you know, this vaccine that coming from India. What's the name of the vaccine that coming from India?
I see here some reference to what is called COVAX. Let me see. Given the limited doses, the complexities related to rolling out a vaccine requiring ultra cold chain and to ensure maximum public health impact, a decision was made to limit the number of countries for first deliveries of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine in order to enable successful distribution and delivery. Building on the principles of fairness, transparency, and equity for this exceptional early delivery allocation process, all facility participants expressing interest in early deliveries of Pfizer-BioNTech and assessed as ready by the 6 regional review committees were divided by regional bloc. So that is this is the information I have that they would be taking. Let's see here, I'm looking at a document says that it was stipulated that participants that have initiated their COVID vaccination program as of January 29th will not be included in the first exceptional allocation round for the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. So that's my information, but perhaps the government of Barbados needs to spell out exactly what they are talking about here. They said six regional review committees composed of staff from the World Health Organization, UNICEF, Gavi, and members of Gavi's Independent Review Committee undertook a technical assessment of the applications to make readiness recommendations for this distribution of, it's called the COVAX Interim Distribution Forecast. That's what I'm seeing here as of the 3rd of February, 2021.
But I read that in India they have two vaccines, Covaxin and Covishield. The Covishield is made from a weakened version of a common cold virus, known as adenovirus from chimpanzee. That's what I read from in India.
Wait, please. First of all, it is safer in these circumstances to ask people who are scientists just to explain it for you. Don't go with driving fear into people's hearts by referencing how the vaccine has been made. What is very important is how effective the vaccine is, how safe it is. So let's go there first. We can't go and read something from some publication in India and then use that as the basis of trying to whip up fear in a country.
No, no. But I want to say you have to take 2 doses of this vaccine. And if you have any problems, because you're hearing that the vaccine coming here and the frontline workers will be the first. But you have to tell your health provider people what sickness you have. And if you're allergic to certain things, you cannot take that.
Okay, let me just clarify something here based upon what you have put in the public domain. COVID Shield is the local name for the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine, which is developed in the United Kingdom. That's COVID Shield.
Yes.
Covaxin is the Indian name. It's the locally made by pharma company Bharat Biotech. So Covaxin is the one which is made in India. India is a vaccine powerhouse. It makes 60% of the world's vaccines and is home to half dozen major manufacturers. Okay? So that's the distinction between one and the other. One is made in Britain. One is made in India.
In India, right.
Right.
But they didn't tell us about the side effects from it. What side effects you will get from this?
Well, all of that... But ma'am, in all fairness, we are all now in the process of trying to gain more information about it. And this is not just this one. I mean, you got Moderna, you have other vaccines that are out there that people are working on. So, I mean, one expects that when the whole process is complete and we are clear about what we are getting and when we are getting these vaccines, it is important to spell out, you know, a bit more about it and let people know what is, you know, what are the possible side effects and that sort of thing, depending upon which one is chosen. But it may still be a bit early for that because we in Barbados, we don't have the vaccines yet. I mean, it'd be interesting to hear. The government, 9 people in government took a vaccine and they told us about the first, but we don't know about the second. And if you're going to publicize that 9 people got the vaccine, what people have been curious. I mean, there's no more information, but that's as far as we've gotten with it.
Yeah, but we shall see them take the vaccine, then how they do it, and we don't know if they do it or not. But anyhow, Mr. Ellis, like, you know, we should not be in this position with this COVID. Because when these people are coming in, they get and scatter them in all the clinic hotels. That's how the virus get about the place. Because we met the hotel's clinic. I know a lot of people that, you know, a lot of senior citizens going. And that is not fair. Because they get and scatter them all about with the first thing, with the 2 days thing and this and that. And the virus get. Or is an island. You said a community spray, but it's an island where it's sprayed, and it get all over the place. Anyhow, Mr. Ellis, that is all I have to say. And you have a good day.
You do too.